Would you take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I want to share with you a message entitled Graduation Gifts. Graduation Gifts. I want us to look beginning at verse 1 of chapter 12. We're going to read through verse 11, and then we're going to consider the graduation gifts that have been bestowed upon us as God's children, and whether or not you're using those gifts today. Are you using the graduation gifts that God has given to you? Beginning at verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away with these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for this day. We thank You that we can gather in Your name to worship Thee and to sing psalms of praise to Thy holy name. And now, Father, as we open Your precious Word, I pray that You might teach us. I pray, Father, that You would give us ears to hear, that we might take forth the application that we are given and that we might use it for Your honor and glory. And we'll give You the praise and the glory for the work that You accomplish in hearts today. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I wonder if you can remember the gifts you were given at your graduation. Maybe it was high school graduation, or maybe it was college graduation. My dad gave to my brother and I at college an expensive watch, and I still have it. It doesn't work anymore, but I kept it for posterity because it was a special gift at college graduation. And I think about the gift that Ken Walkup got from his dad. He told me what he got. When he got home from graduation, there were three suitcases sitting there. And Ken looked at his dad and said, "Dad, what does this mean?" And he said, "You're a high school graduate. You figure it out." That was his that was his welcome into adulthood. Now, you may not remember what you got for a gift, but I want to tell you something. The moment that you were saved and the moment that you passed from death unto life, the Bible says that God gave to you gifts. God gave to you gifts by His Holy Spirit. And Paul says to the Corinthian believers, listen, I don't want you to be ignorant of that fact. I want you to know that God gave to you, the moment that you were saved, gifts, and it's your responsibility to find out what those gifts are and then to exercise those gifts, not for personal benefit, but for the benefit of the body of Christ. Now that in a nutshell is the first 11 verses of 1 Corinthians 12. We find that there are 9 different gifts that were bestowed upon the early church. Some of these gifts have been suspended. They've ceased. Specifically, the last two, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. And the Bible tells us, Paul said, that where there are tongues, they shall cease. But the other gifts that we find here in this passage are still there. And there are 3 basic divisions that are given to us. Verse 4 says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So there are different kinds of gifts, and not everybody has the same kind of gift. God gives gift of people. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5 that God gave gifts to the church. He gave pastor teachers. He gave missionaries. He gave teachers. I mean, there are several. There are gifts of individuals that God gave to His church. And then there are individuals who are differently gifted that work in different ways. For instance, in verse 5, there are differences of administrations. But they're saying God gives the gifts of administrations to some people, the ability to administer His work here upon the earth. Then in verse 6, it says there are diversities of operations. But it is the same God which worketh all in all. Operations, the functioning of the body of Christ, is carried out in multitudes of ways. From Sunday school teachers to people that work in the office and answer the phone, to people that clean, to people that carry out different functions for the work of God. Those are all operational gifts that God gives. And some people are just unusually gifted in that way. God gives gifts of people that have an understanding about how to do audio and how to play the piano and how to play musical instruments. That's part of the operations aspect. Then we find in verse 6, the latter part, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Now this tells us something very important. In order for there to be profit in Christian ministry, the Spirit of God must be at work. All right? The Spirit of God must be at work. Now, the Christian church cannot rise to its true stature in accomplishing the purpose of God when its members operate largely through talent, natural ability, neglecting the true gifts and graces of the Spirit of God that came the moment we were saved. Now, the moment you graduated from death unto life, you were given gifts. Now, the talents that you may have had all along are wonderful, and they are useful as long as they are tools of the Spirit of God and that you're exercising the gifts of the Spirit in that regard. So important that we understand this. Talent is wonderful. But there are people that can come into a church and have a talent to play a musical instrument that can be lost, and their ministry is useless. There's no benefit that comes. God says so. Because it's ungifted people doing it. They don't possess the Spirit of God. Now, much of the religious activity that we see today in our churches is not the eternal working of the eternal Spirit, but rather the mortal workings of mortal men and women in their natural strength. I think that's sad. That should not be the case. But in most instances, I'm afraid today, it's not. From what I see and sense in our fundamental circles and that of evangelical circles today, I would have to say that probably 90% of the religious work that's carried on is done by ungifted people. Because they're using programs and plans and things that were invented by men to do the work. And so you don't have to have gifted people. All you have to do is have people that will follow the what? The plan. Anybody can do that. You know, they say that you can teach a puppy the ability to do just about everything. Now, I've never owned a puppy like that. All my dogs have been completely devoid of brains. All right? I've tried. I've done everything I know to do. When I got them as puppies, I would walk them around the neighborhood so they could get used to a leash. And when they got all grown up, they were tugging the whole time. They wanted to get out. And if you let go of that leash, they were gone. I don't know what it is. I don't have the gift, evidently, of teaching animals how to behave. Now, I do. I'm able to keep my cat contained. But even our hamsters know how to get out of their cage. I was sitting in the living room a couple of weeks ago. And all of a sudden, something darted across the room. And I immediately jumped up. And we got a rat in the house. That's the first thing I thought. Okay? And so I went on rat patrol. And you know what it was? It was our hamster. Our hamster. Now, Jonathan has a giant hamster. I don't know if it's on steroids or what. That thing eats us out of house and home. But it got out of its cage. I do not know how he got out. He's evidently big enough that he can take his fist and punch the door and it pops open. But he get out and he was having a great time. He was running. He'd run over behind a chair. Then he was running. I chased him around the living room. I mean, he was heading all over. I finally caught him, got him back into his cage. Now, I can't even contain and control hamsters, but I do have a cat that we can control. And the only reason that's possible, because she's so heavy she can't move anymore. So she pretty much stays in one spot now. But you can teach people, ungifted people, to do things in the church. But God says, I want gifted people, the ones that I have granted through my Holy Spirit, I want gifted people doing my work in my church. Do I hear an amen? Kind of quiet out there. That's what God intended. But we've gotten away from that today. Now, I am speaking in this context of men and women who know how to do many things but fail to display the spiritual gifts promised through verse 7. Now notice this, please. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit therewith. Now that's important. We need to understand this. Now this is one of the very evident ways in which we have slowed down the true working of God in His church and in the hearts of unbelieving people all around the world. Acknowledging and allowing unbelievers to do religious work without possessing the genuine gifts of the Spirit. Now this is important. I want you to grab a hold of this because this is what's happened today. And we need to be careful. Are we using gifted people in God's work? Or have we gone to ungifted people to do God's work? It will stifle and squelch what God intends to do in His church. Very important. Now, it is true that Christians possess the Holy Spirit of God upon salvation. Every regenerated believer does have the person of the Holy Spirit. No question about that. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church and reminded the believers there that they were all baptized into one body by the Holy Spirit. Verses 12 through 13 talks about that here in our passage. Baptized into the Spirit of God. Paul also wrote to the church at Rome and insisted that if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. Now, Paul explains further to the Corinthians that beyond regeneration, I do not want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. I don't want you to be ignorant of that. And I want you to covet earnestly the best gifts. I want you to desire. I want you to have the best gifts. And I want you to exercise those gifts in the work of the Lord. These are our graduation gifts. When you pass from death to life, when you pass, as Brother O'Pager shared in Sunday school this morning, when you move from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God, God gives you gifts. But I'm afraid they're like most graduation gifts. They get forgotten about. We don't know what they were. We don't know what they are. And therefore, we don't know how to exercise them. I think it is plain that if Paul only wanted them to know that they were to have a measure of the Spirit of God upon conversion, he would have said that and dropped it right there. Everybody gets the Spirit when they get saved, and that would be it. But that's not it, is it? The moment that you receive the Spirit of God, He gives to you gifts. And it's high time that we open them and that we exercise them. That is the point. Now let's go on, because I want you to see this. He went to great length to explain the necessity for the functioning of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the church. And I believe he was explaining and helping us to understand this, that these spiritual functions and capabilities were in reality the birthright of the Christian. It's part of the birthright of being a child of God. It's having these gifts and exercising them. Do you know what your gifts are this morning? If you're God's child, you have them. You need to be exercising. Some people are content to just show up on Sunday and then to leave, and that's it. That's all I want. You're not exercising the gifts. You're going to be held accountable for that. God gave His Holy Spirit, and He wants you to exercise those gifts. Paul did not say we must be important and well-known Christians to be useful to the Spirit of God. This is not a special gift just to doctors of divinity. The Bible is very clear that the gifts are given to the humblest of His saints. And I'm going to share with you an illustration here in just a few moments of that. Paul reminded the Corinthians that God was actually seeking the simple people because they were willing to respond to the Spirit's working. Isn't that interesting? Not many wise, not many noble are called. Why would He say that? Because He wants us to understand that no one is not good enough to receive the gifts of the Spirit. We receive it not on the basis of who we are, but of who Christ is. Amen? That's the basis. That's the reason the gifts are given. It's not because we're worthy and we're just so gifted and talented and we have the gift of gab and we're able to talk to people. No! It's based solely on the merit of Jesus Christ. And you've been given a gift. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 20 through 27. Not many noble, not many wise are called. Where is the wise, Paul asked? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. How does He do that? He does that through believers who are empowered of the Holy Spirit and exercise the gifts that are given to them. So, the Spirit of God, His presence and His gifts are not only desirable in our Christian congregations, but absolutely imperative. They are God's graduation gifts to His newly born children. Those who have graduated from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of Christ. Now here is an overlooked truth. The regenerated, converted child of God who have joyfully found their place in the body of Christ by faith are still humans. We don't become superhumans when we get saved. We're not able to leap tall buildings with a single bound. Now, there are some that think so. We've got some that think they can play with rattlesnakes and not be bit. You know, they can do all that. We've got some people that do all kinds of crazy things. But I want to tell you something. When you get saved, the moment that you come to faith in Jesus Christ, you still have the same blood pumping through your veins. You still have the five, ten fingers, depending on how many you have. You still have your hands, your feet, your eyes. Everything is still the same, except your soul has been changed. You have a new heart in Jesus Christ. Now, my point is this. We are still human, and we are living in bodies that are still unredeemed. If we are to continue in the blessing of fellowship that we enjoy together in this church, we must all consciously know and experience the indwelling illumination of the Holy Spirit of God. We must depend upon His gifts and His enabling and His anointing if we hope to cope with each other. All right? See where I'm going? If we hope to cope with each other, the world around us, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. You must have the power of God's Spirit, and you must exercise gifts. You know why churches have so many problems? They've got too many ungifted people. Dr. Hobbs used to put it this way, truly saved people don't cause problems in churches. Truly saved people don't cause problems in churches. It's the ungifted ones, those that aren't saved, that cause. They want to have a say-so. They want to be able to exercise themselves in the church, but they don't possess the living God in their heart. Believers are still in unredeemed bodies. This is true of every believer, every member of the body, whether it's the oldest and sweetest saint of God who has been following the Lord for 50 years, or if it's the newest convert in the church. You understand that? Same Spirit. Gifts are given. Now, do you believe that? Or is it just something that used to be preached years ago and we don't believe that anymore because we've all evolved? Don't you love that? That's a new expression for 2012. I evolved. Okay. Well, I hope some don't evolve. I hope they get right with God. You don't need to evolve. You need to be redeemed. You need to be redeemed. Now, this is Orthodox Christian theology, but it's not being preached today. It's not being preached today. Because you know what's been substituted? Instead of seeking the Holy Spirit's working and gifts, We've started these programs to channel talent. Now, talent is something that you're endowed with when you're born. All right? Now, let me just illustrate this. All right? My brain says to me, Todd, walk over there and pick up Nicole's violin and play a tune for the church. And I say, brain, I don't have a clue how to play the violin. All right? I wasn't gifted with that ability to play the violin. I don't have it in me. I go out, if I were to pick that up and grab the bow and put it in my hands, you would hear the most awful noises that you've heard today come screeching out of that violin. Because I don't know how to play it. I'm not gifted in that regard. But you know what we've done today? We've said, we'll make you gifted. We'll teach you how to do it. Wait a minute. What we need to be doing is exercising the gifts of the Spirit. You don't have to be taught that. That's a natural outflow of the Spirit. Every one of these areas that Paul mentions here, he doesn't say, I want you to go and I want you to take this seminar. And this seminar will help you find out what your gifts are and will teach you how to use those gifts for God. No! They're an outflow of the Spirit. Does the Spirit have to be taught how to do His work? Absolutely not. We are to exercise the gifts of the Spirit. Romans 8, 20 through 23 says this, For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the creation, it groaneth and travaileth in pain together unto now, and not only they, but ourselves also which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit, the redemption of the body. Now I want you to catch that phrase there. Which have the first fruits of the Spirit. In other words, when the Spirit of God comes into the heart and life, the Spirit of God produces something. God calls them first fruits. Have you ever had that first ripe tomato out of your garden? It tastes the best, does it not? I mean, there's just something wonderful about going out and picking the first fruits. I was in Walmart the other day, and they had a whole section there of tomato plants and squash plants and already growing squash. Because it's getting kind of late here in the season. People have a bite, they're growing squash. And you know what the temptation was to pull out a pocket knife and, you know, take that squash home? I mean, it looks so good. First fruit squash. Oh, it tastes so good. Now, if you don't like squash, wait till you get to heaven. Okay? I love squash. I like to put it in all kinds of things. I mean, I love it on salad. I got to have some good squash yesterday at the banquet. Boy, it was seasoned and they had grilled it. Oh, it was great. Add zucchini. Oh, it was so good. First fruit. I mean, it's the best. It comes right off the vine, the very first. When you get on down several weeks down the road, it doesn't taste as good, does it? Why? It's losing. It's dying. The plant is dying. So it's not able to produce what it was able to produce before. The fruit's not as good. I want to tell you something. If you possess the Holy Spirit of God this morning, there's fruit. There's no such thing as a fruitless Christian. They don't exist. It's either gifted or ungifted. Ungifted means people who are not saved, who do not possess the Spirit of God, they don't have the gifts. All right? Now, there is no other way to have it. The saints of God in this age do live in an unredeemed body. So God said, I'm going to give my Spirit so that I will have work that will stand up to the fire of heaven. You know the wood, hay, and stubble? That's all stuff that's done in the flesh. But the gold and the silver and the precious stones that we read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, talk about the things that we have done through the Spirit of God. Who did that? The Spirit of God did it through believers. That's why it can withstand the fire of heaven. That's why it'll bring glory to His name. That is why we take the theme from this message. It is impossible for God to use men and women who yet must die to bring about His eternal purpose. So He's given His Spirit. And He's given gifts so that His church can operate and function in this sinful world. And what are we leaving out of our churches today? The Spirit of God. Isn't it interesting that at the Church of Laodicea, who's standing outside the door knocking? It's the spiritless church. Laodicea is the spiritless church. Okay? It's a body without the Spirit. People are meeting and they're singing their songs and they're going to church, but outside the door is Jesus Christ. The Spirit's not present within ungifted people. Now, I want to move along here. My time is short. Let me give you another illustration. The accomplished artist gives his hands and his eyes credit for his paintings. Ken Kincaid, just died not too long ago, would talk about that he had the gift. He knew how to, his eyes and his hands worked together. He said he didn't even consciously think so many times as he was painting. All right? So the accomplished artist gives his hands and his eye credit for his paintings. The musician gives his or her hands and fingers credit for harmonies produced from keys, like on a piano, or valves on a trumpet, or strings on a violin. But there was never a greater mistake than to believe that. The credit all has to go to the marvelous creator of the brain that operates the fingers and the eyes that make that possible. You don't see an artist get up, I want to get up and thank my brain for the beautiful painting. No, they don't think that way. I want to thank my brain for how I was able to play the piano today. No. We take credit for ourselves. But the hands have never really done anything except what the brain told it to do. Right? If the brain ceases to function, the fingers and hands fall limp and helpless. It is the brain that paints a picture, smells a rose, hears the sounds of music. It's the brain that allows the body to function and to be able to take all of that in. Now, the Holy Spirit must be to the members of the body of Christ what the brain is to the eyes and ears and mouth and other parts. For as the Bible says in Philippians 2 and verse 13, it is God which worketh in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. So that's the Holy Spirit. He is to be the brain of the Christian life. I wonder how much of that is true in our lives. Would you ask yourself the question, is the Holy Spirit in charge? Or am I in charge? Now, we allow this very thing to happen so many times. We enlist people who have not graduated from death unto life and tell them to get busy doing God's work. We hand them a stack of tracts and say, go out and witness. Witness to what? So many of them don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, I don't know the heart. But I've dealt with enough people over the years of people that thought they were believers and they were just as lost as they could be because they did not possess the power of God's Spirit in their life. It wasn't evident. You see, the work of the Spirit is seen. It's seen. Now, work that is only religious work and religious activity can be done by ungifted men and women, and it can be done within the framework of the Christian church. But it will end up with the judgment of God upon it because it's only a product of the human mind and the human body. God says that's wood, hay, and stubble. The church today brings in musicians to play their instruments. They bring in singers to host sing-alongs. We organize movements and crusades and campaigns and workshops and seminars with people who are famous, but in most cases have not graduated from death unto life. No matter how much good may come, how early they start in the morning, how late they stay up at night, it is still an exercise of human talent for religious purposes, and it will only end up being burned up. It won't last eternity. What we need in the church today are people who have graduated from death unto life, who possess graduation gifts. What we do for God must be done in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we know that we may have little praise from men in the doing of it. But what we do accomplish for Him will have His praise written all over it if it's done through His Holy Spirit, through the gifts that He has given. Most of us have never heard of, nor do we remember, the name of a 16-year-old girl whose singing ministry brought about spiritual results in the Welsh revivals of 1904 to 1905. The name of the girl was Annie Davies. She was 16. She would sing gospel songs, even though singing of solos in Wales was not regularly a part of their normal services. They sang in choral groups, and they usually used the metric psalter, which did not particularly lend itself to solo expression. But Evan Roberts, who was used of the Lord in preaching throughout the island of Wales during the 1904 and 1904 revivals, put together a girls' chorus. There were four girls, and the one that sang the solos was Annie Davies, 16 years of age. She had a spiritual gift. The Spirit-given ability to glorify the Savior when she sang was clearly evident. She did not have a powerful voice. As a matter of fact, there are no extant recordings of her voice. We don't even know what she sounded like. And if I were to say Annie Davies to you, you wouldn't know who she was, except for I'm telling you this morning. Because she's just one of the young girls that was saved. And she went and she said, I want to be used of the Lord. And Evan Roberts put together this girls' chorus that would sing before he preached. And they sang the Psalter. They didn't sing all the newer hymns that we sing today. They sang the Psalter. But whenever she would sing, there would be such a moving of God's Spirit. People would get up and start walking forward before the message was ever done. And they would kneel at the altar and begin to cry out to God. She was singing the Psalms. And just her little voice was not trained. She never went to school. She didn't have a vibrato. She just sang from her heart. And God's Spirit used that. Evan Roberts said he would rise and there would be little left else for me to do. He said, I would read the passage, I would deliver the message, but people were already being moved by the Spirit of God when Annie Davies would come and sing with her simple voice. This was not just a local instance, by the way. Everywhere she went with Evan Roberts as they traveled the island, a similar result happened. As she was singing the Psalms, people would begin to rise and they would begin to move and they would come and some would just drop down on their knees. Sometimes it was outside, they'd fall to the grass and begin to pray and ask God to save them. Now, I am so thankful that she were not alive today. You know what would happen today? Annie Davies would be rushed to get a video made and put on YouTube, all right? And show off her talent and spoil her to her ruin. That's what would happen today, because it happens all the time. Oh, did you see my YouTube video when I was at church? Wait a minute. Where is the prophet supposed to go with the Spirit? That every man should profit. Not just me. That's what would happen today, though. Thank God that they knew better than to start writing her life history at 16, like happens today. Thank God she was not pressed into writing a book. My life, from nursery school to singing sensation. That's what would have happened today, because we're so used to ungifted people serving in the church. Now, very few people know she ever lived, Annie Davies. But she was a Welsh girl who was saved, who went to Evan Roberts and said, I want to be used of God. Use me in whatever way you can use me. I will help out in the church. I will help out with the services. I will go and I'll hand out flyers to the village people to let them know. I'll do whatever you want to do. And Evan Roberts said, I want to start a girls' chorus that will sing the Psalms. And her simple voice so overpowered Evan Roberts. Said, "You must sing by yourself. I want you to sing by yourself." And God used that in a remarkable way. 2 years. And then it almost seems like she rides out of the pages of history. Very little is known about her after that. And yet she was used of God. Now back to our text. The gifts have a unity in source, verses 4 through 6. What's the unity of source? The Spirit of God. And they have a unity in purpose. That's the exaltation of Jesus Christ. Gifts are not given for personal enrichment, but for the common good of the body of Christ, the building up of saints. The gifts of the Holy Spirit listed here in verses 7 through 11 were never meant to be selected by individuals or personally solicited by them. But instead were given by the Spirit of God as He determined, so that they might be used for Christ's glory. The Holy Spirit is referred to 6 times in verses 7 through 11 as the source of the gift. Today is graduation Sunday. This may seem like a strange message, but let just say that our graduates who are going out this afternoon are commencing and beginning a time of separation. They're separating, they're leaving behind their high school years. They're leaving behind their high school friends. They're not going to be with them on a daily basis anymore. For some like Matt that are going to be going into the Marine Corps, it means separation from mom and dad. Now, what are we going to do? Are we going to trust ourselves? Or are we going to trust the Lord? Are we going to depend upon the Holy Spirit of God? Or are we going to depend upon our own savvy and our own strength? If you're a child of God, you're gifted because you possess the Holly Spirit of God. You say, "Well, I don't know what my gifts are." Then you need to go to God. And you need to ask Him, "Lord, what are my gifts?" He'll show you. The reason you probably don't know, though, is because you're not spending time. What did the Spirit say He would do? He would convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Rightness. If you're not feeding on the precious Word of God, you'll not know how to use the gifts. You'll not know how to exercise them. And you will be of no profit to God's people. Your graduation gifts came by the Holy Spirit of God. We need to get them out. And we need to use them, not for our benefit. If you see somebody taking credit for the gifts, you can be sure those aren't gifts from the Holy Spirit. All right? You see, the person who has gifts knows and understands that they didn't come from me. They came from God. And the only way that the church will be of any benefit to this world, to our culture, to the United States of America, is so long as God's people, gifted by the Holy Spirit, proclaim this book and live their lives in accordance with this holy word. Then I will be a benefit to you. You will be a benefit to me. And this fellowship of believers will be a benefit to each other. And there'll be few problems. Amen? Few problems. Oh, I'm so thankful for this fellowship. I thank the Lord every day that He's given me the privilege to be able to come and be His servant and to minister His Word to a group of people that overwhelmingly seem to love the Lord. But I want to tell you something, folks. It's easy to coast. It's easy to pop it out of drive and put it in neutral, sometimes by accident, but sometimes because we start trusting ourselves too much. Listen, you need to trust God and depend on His Holy Spirit. You'll never be able to rest in Him until you're resting in the gifts that God has given to you, and you'll never be a blessing to anybody else in this church until you're exercising the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's why they were given, and it's high time as believers that we exercise those gifts. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for the graduation gifts that were given the moment that we graduated out of death into life. that we were taken from the kingdom of Satan and put into the kingdom of Christ. And Lord, these gifts that you have given are not for personal selfishness. They're not gifts that are given so that we can make a name for ourselves, so that we can be well known in fundamentalism. No, that's not the reason why the gifts were given. They were given so that the dear saints of God might be blessed and encouraged and helped. And Lord, I think so many times we are so content to just coast along. We rely on our talents, what we know, rather than what God tells us from His Word. And so I would pray that you would bring about conviction that only your Holy Spirit can bring, of trying to do your work without exercising the gifts of the Holy Spirit, in self-dependence rather than dependence upon Christ. Lord, I pray for our graduates today. Lord, they're going into a harsh and wicked world. I pray that they first of all know Christ as their Savior. Not know about Christ, but know Christ. The difference is heaven and hell. Knowing about Christ will just seal your doom. We must know Christ. We must have Him as our Savior. We must be in Him. So, Father, I pray that you would do a work in the hearts and lives of our graduates. And, Lord, for all those that are here today, for those that know the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that they might know of the gifts that you have given and that they might exercise those gifts in Thy power, in Thy strength, to be a benefit and a blessing to your people. We thank you, Father, for those that are. Oh, what a blessing they are. What an encouragement they are to this pastor. Pray for others that are seemingly trying to exercise talent and natural ability. Lord, convict them of that sin. And may they rely upon Thy Holy Spirit. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.